Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you want to change in your life? Do you have a bad habit? A bad relationship? A bad attitude? A bad situation? A bad decision that maybe you have made in your past? The truth is that we all have something in life and we think, that has got to change. The problem is that we live in a culture of instant gratification. If you're watching the TV, all you have to do is pick up that little remote control and click the buttons a few times and immediately the channel will change for you. If you're on your phone, all you have to do is push the screen a few different times and all of a sudden a new app opens with new information available. If you're hungry, all you need is a microwave. You can put food into a microwave for just a few moments and next thing you know, your belly will be filled with warm food. We like our lives fast. And we like our lives convenient. No? Well, tonight we continue through our sermon series on the book of Exodus. We see how godly change takes place. And the sad fact is that it's not through instant gratification. Godly change is a process. Godly change takes time. And so in Exodus chapter 2, we see an Egyptian who is beating an Israelite. And Moses sees this, and so what does he do? But he goes over and he kills this Egyptian man to save his fellow Israelite. Well, what would you expect the next day? But Moses would be able to go up to this guy and say, hey, I saved your life, and he'd get this great big thank you from this man. But that's not what Moses gets. Instead, the man says, will you kill me too? And with that, Moses knows he's caught. And in fact, he is, because word gets back to Pharaoh about what Moses had done, and he has to leave. And for the next 40 years, he lives in a land called Midian. That's where we find Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Moses was tending the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro. For 40 years, Moses tended the flock. Now, if I'm Moses, I'm going to get sick of it. Sick of it, just tired of it. 40 years of sheep. Feeding the sheep, leading the sheep, shearing the sheep, counting the sheep, not only at night, but also during the day. Sheep, 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 not to mention the smell of the sheep. In our modern day, after 40 years, what are we ready for? Retirement. We're all looking forward to it, right? I paid my dues. I did what I'm supposed to do. I punch my clock day in, day out. I'm ready to retire. Enough is enough. But we see, not only in just our jobs, but we see in a lot of different aspects of our life how we would like to have change. Just to mix things up, to switch up the routine, to shake up life just a little bit. Maybe we'd like it a little better. But remember, even for Moses, godly change is a process. And for Moses, it all starts with God's presence. The messenger of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. But this isn't just any old messenger. This is the pre-incarnate Christ. And this is no ordinary fire. This is the fire of God. The fire of God, when God calls with fire, it's never just, okay, here's a fire, that's pretty normal, right? You see that the fire of God appears and crazy things happen. In fact, when the fire of God appears, change happens every single time. So what does Moses say? As he comes into the presence of this fire, as he comes into the presence of the pre-incarnate Christ, he says, here am I. It's Moses' proclamation. He's ready for change. In other words, he says, What do you want me to do, God? What is your plan for my life? I'm all ears. Send me where you want to send me. I'll go. I'll speak what you want me to speak. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, if you are God and if this miracle of unquenchable fire is from you, take me. Here am I. And then the Lord told Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, but better would probably be slave drivers, because that's what the Egyptians were. And God says, I know their suffering. It means that in a world, in the midst of a world where we desire change, God isn't ignorant. In the midst of a world where we see our bad situations, our bad habits, our bad relationships, our bad attitudes, God isn't ignorant. His silence doesn't mean he's not listening. And in fact, his silence isn't silence at all. You ever lifted up a prayer to the Lord and you thought to yourself, why isn't God answering? God, it's always answering. In every single prayer, God is answering. The problem is that we want instant gratification. We don't want the process. We don't want the godly change. We want to set our minds on the things of man, not on the things of God. And as he speaks these words to Moses, it's clear that he loves his people too much to just sit back and leave you without an answer, to leave you in the midst of your suffering, to leave you without a change. And so instead, what did God do for Moses? He came down. In the burning bush, God is present with fire and with his word, word that is designed to fill him with hope and love toward God. But it still is an instant. And so God sends Moses back to Pharaoh. Right, go back to Pharaoh. And at this point, right, we have to pause because in chapter 2, Moses was 40. Right? He was 40 when we saw him. And then this is 40 years later, 40 years in Midian, which means that now Moses, next is chapter 3, is 80 years old. And so Moses' reply to what God tells him to do, isn't that all surprising? He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm an 80-year-old man. I don't know what I'm doing. I've been tending sheep for 40 years. But God doesn't say, oh, come on, Moses, you can do it. He doesn't call down like a legion of angels to hold a pep rally so that Moses might have a nice send-off into his new vocation. He doesn't tell Moses, if you can dream it, you can do it. He certainly doesn't tell him that you can do anything you set your mind to. But why doesn't God say any of that? Because Moses asked the wrong question. The question isn't, who am I? The question is, who are you? Who is this God? Who is this one who is asking me to go and do this feat for the people of Israel? He's the God who changes everything. That's who he is. He's the God who uses processes throughout life. That way people can live in faith. He says in Exodus 3, especially verse 12 here, this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain, the very mountain that Moses was standing on. Could you imagine that? You want to know that I am worth trusting. You want to know that this whole process I'm about to send you through is worthwhile. Well, guess what? Eventually, you're going to come back here. How many of us have thought that eventually was good enough? Well, God, you know, I'd really like this now, but, you know, eventually. We don't pray for eventually. We pray for right now. We want what we ask for right now. I don't want the sign in the future. I want the sign now. But if we want godly change, we have to be prepared for the process. Have you ever embarked upon like a multi-stepped project of any type? Just from my own experience, I like to repair my own car, right? Saves money. It's fun. I feel like a man when I'm done, right? But the truth is that there's a process to it. There's diagnosis. You have to research the repair. You have to buy the tools you need and the parts that you're going to have to replace. And then you actually have to get underneath the car and accomplish the job. Every time, without fail, when I have to go through the process, it takes more energy than I expected, and it takes more time than I expected, and it takes more money than I expected. In fact, even right now, I'll tell you, I have a leak in my van, and I've just been pushing it off. Why? Because I don't want to go through the process. It's a lot easier just not to deal with it. Moses does the same. He gives his excuses to God. He didn't want to be God's man. He didn't choose this. He gave all the excuses he had. Moses says, I don't know your name. God says, easy. Just tell him I am sent you. Right? Moses says, well, the Israel's leaders, they won't believe me. And God gives him two miracles, right? The leprous hand, where he puts his hand into his robe and he brings it out leprous, and then he puts it back and it comes out clean. And then the rod, the staff that he's carrying, that he turns into a snake. Moses says, I don't speak well. And God says, well, here's your brother Aaron. He'll speak for you. Moses says, someone else can do it better. And God says, stop giving me excuses, Moses. You're the man. The truth is that we get a lot of these same things too. We're looking for godly change. We're looking for it. Well, what do we have from God? God, I don't know your name. What does Jesus say? He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. In baptism, he places his name on you and he says, now you are one of I am's children. People won't believe me? Jesus did all sorts of miracles. Not just leprous hand, not just snake staff. Jesus healed the sick. He gave those who couldn't walk the ability to walk again. People who couldn't see were given back their sight. Jesus is lifted up. He sheds his blood. He dies on the cross. And then he comes back to life again. What more of a sign do you need? I don't speak well? Jesus gives you the church. A place where you can be encouraged in your faith. A place where you can support each other and other people will support you. You're not in it alone. Moses had Aaron as his right-hand man, and you have all of these people in this place to do the same for you. We all have things we want to change in life. But God has a process, not instant gratification. And so as we come to the end of this sermon, the truth is that, can you imagine putting yourself into God's place when Adam and Eve ate that fruit? And he goes, how am I going to fix this? He had a process. And it took him a long time. He had to track it through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob. His people had to suffer in Egypt. He had to send Moses to lead them out. And even then, his people still weren't faithful, constantly falling away, being brought back in repentance, falling away, being brought back in repentance, not unlike what we experience today. And finally, when the right time came, God sent Jesus to be born of a woman. And even then, he still had to wait 30 years until Jesus was a man and he could start his public ministry. And even then, Jesus still had to die. And then he had to wait in the tomb for 3 days. And then when he came back to life, it still wasn't done. Living on this earth another 40 days after that, ascending into heaven. And even today, Jesus still rules the church. And by a process, he has brought you here to accomplish salvation in your life. My friends, we all have things we want to change. We all have excuses why it's not our job. But what are your excuses? Are you too old? Are you too young? Are you too shy or too messed up or too sinful? Jesus speaks to you today. Not from a bush, but from the pages of Scripture. He says, I shed my blood for you. He says, I have forgiven you. He says, I have died for you. And he says, there is still work to be done. God is determined to change you through a process, through a plan, through forgiveness. You see? What should we say? Like Moses? Here am I. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.